Good afternoon. I'm Senator Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, and I'm honored to be leading this delegation of members of the United States Congress who are participating in the Saban Forum, but also while we were here, held a series of bilateral meetings here, for instance, with Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Deputy Prime Minister Dan Meridor, and the Leader of the Opposition, Tzipi Livni. We also had meetings yesterday with Prime Minister Salam Fayyad in Ramallah and with the Palestinian negotiator to the peace process, Saab Erekat. Rather than have each of us give an opening statement, I thought I'd just introduce my colleagues to make sure you know who all they are, and then let you ask questions that are on your mind. So Senator Ted Kaufman is here from Delaware, Congresswoman Susan Davis from California, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, and Congresswoman Jane Harman from California. We have a California-heavy delegation.
It's a good start.
The nation of California is very well represented here. So please, ask questions. Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a very relevant question, and it's one that we explored. I don't know that I have an easy answer. I would say that one thing I think will not get the peace process going here between Israelis and Palestinians is this move that's being discussed for essentially a unilateral declaration of statehood. That is to go to the United Nations to basically declare a Palestinian state. I hope and presume that the United States would veto such an attempt if it ever came to the Security Council, because we have been committed to negotiations and said that the only way to solve this conflict and bring about the end that we all hope for and have worked for over succeeding generations, two states, two peoples, is through bilateral negotiations. The other obvious fact, which Prime Minister Netanyahu strongly suggested last night, but is a reality, that unilateral actions by one side invite unilateral actions by the other, and that gets us nowhere good. So I think in our meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu, he seemed very forward-leaning about wanting to go back to direct negotiations. You'll not be surprised to hear that in our meeting with Saab Erekat, he was frustrated, disappointed. I think that Senator Mitchell, on President Obama's behalf, will do everything he can to convince the parties to come back to the table. Our appeal, mine, I'll speak for myself, to Saab Erekat was to give the new Israeli government an opportunity at the negotiating table. That really hasn't happened yet. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has, as I said, been very forward-leaning about wanting to get back to direct negotiations. Can I'll invite my colleagues. Yes.
If I could say a few words to my hometown newspaper. First of all, I'm glad it has foreign bureaus left, and appreciate the fact that many of you represent what's left of the newspaper industry in the United States. I came to Israel this time. I travel frequently here. It's my third visit this year via Afghanistan and Pakistan. So if you really want to be depressed, go that route. I leave here more optimistic, and I think maybe our chairman, Joe Lieberman, has just said the same thing. I think the two standouts or the two big reasons for my optimism are, one, the Prime Minister of Israel, in our meeting with him this morning in particular, he said, I'm ready, with no preconditions, ready to sit down. He also was positive, although he didn't reveal the details of his meeting with President Obama this week. He said it was mostly on the Palestinian issue. So he's ready. I see movement in his position, certainly over the years many of us have known him, certainly since his first tour as prime minister. So that's one reason I'm optimistic. The other reason I'm optimistic is the prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, Salam Fayyad. My epiphany of the week is that we need to clone him in the Afghan version and move him to Afghanistan. But he is a superb representative of the non-corrupt manager who is delivering both security and good government to the Palestinian Authority. And the differences are amazing. Just going into Ramallah yesterday, my first return since February, the place looks twice as big and twice as clean. And the security, which was on every street corner, was Palestinian. And I think that that is a picture of a place on this earth that can manage being an independent state over time. I'm not saying it should happen tomorrow morning. It has to be negotiated. But on a bottom-up basis, I think Palestine has improved dramatically, and I think a lot of the credit goes to the Prime Minister there. So based on visits in the last 24 hours with two Prime Ministers, I think the prospects are much, much improved.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm with Israel Radio for Israel. I would like to get, please, your input on the most scary business here in Israel, which is Iran.
Right.
There is a feeling which cannot be ignored that there is a lack of immediacy, that there is a lack of feeling that something must be done now. All these talk about Iran in one more week, two more weeks, whatever, something is happening there which cannot be ignored. I'm wondering what is happening in the Senate that is dealing with right now and here.
I'll start an answer to that and try to be as brief as I can and invite my colleagues. I think this delegation of members of Congress, bipartisan, represents the feeling back at home, which is a sense of urgency about the development in Iran of a nuclear weapons capacity. I support President Obama's outreach to Iran to engage them. It's essentially a test of whether they're interested in reaching agreement that stops the their nuclear weapons development, but also brings them then to a positive engagement with the rest of the world, which is to their benefit. And I would say that as of this date, Iran has failed that test. In response to President Obama's outreached hand, an open hand from President Obama, the Iranians have given him a clenched fist. They continue to enrich uranium. They've turned down the IAEA offer to take the low-enriched uranium out of the country. They had this facility at GOM, which we caught them red-handed with it, and we haven't received the final results of the IAEA inspection there. But it seems clear from what I've heard that the determination will be made that that was a facility that was ill-suited for peaceful uses of nuclear weapons. That was built for military purposes. So, and then, of course, you had the supreme leader come along and say it was naive and perverted for Iranians to negotiate with America. So I think that based on the Iranian actions, which is a failure to be forthcoming in good faith at these negotiations, it's time for a phase two. That begins, I believe, with economic sanctions. We have very strong bills that have come out of committees in both houses of Congress with a comprehensive series of economic sanctions that the president, at his discretion, can apply, including particularly sanctions that will make it difficult for Iran to import refined petroleum. Second, I think we have to be much more open in our support of the people of Iran as opposed to the fanatical police state regime that's in Tehran. And I mean the people in the streets who are protesting and asking for freedom. We have to treat them now as we treated people in the former Soviet Union. So it's time for phase two. And the phase two is more pressure on Iran quickly. My own conclusion is the only thing that the Iranian regime wants more than nuclear weapons is the survival of its regime. And through economic sanctions and support of their local opposition, the people of Iran, I hope we can bring them to the table. Incidentally, I wouldn't break the engagement. I'd keep talking while we're applying the pressure. I want to yield to my colleagues.
One yeah. Anyone who would like to answer.
Good.
Do we have a deadline? Do we, or the timetable is open for negotiation? Because there are, as you say, some sort of at least a few clandestine operations.
President Obama has said that the deadline is the end of this calendar year. I hope that we can put in his hands tools, economic sanctions that he can use right after the first of the year. Senator Kaufman.
I just wanted to spell, there's a lot of questions we have about Iran as if the United States really isn't working on Iran or caring about Iran. I'm on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and if you look around the world, the United States has a lot of concerns, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, North Korea. Yet we held 2 weeks of hearings on Iran. There is a great deal of concern about Iran in the Senate of the United States. Howard Berman's here from the House. I'm sure he can talk about the House and by this administration. We got a lot of questions about Iran. I think I can say there are many things being carried on by the administration to try to straighten this thing out. And while Senator Lieberman talked about some of the more public things we can do, I think it's also incredibly powerful to do things behind the scenes in order to move this thing forward. And I can guarantee you that this administration is doing it with the full support of the Congress.
Just want to follow up. One, the administration has been pursuing an engagement, a diplomatic strategy, but there are two facets of that. One is to test Iran on their willingness to take the steps to assure us that they don't have a nuclear weapons program. We're seeing the results of that. The second step, which has been a preoccupation of the administration, has been to build a coalition that if the engagement turns out not to be achieving the goals, we can quickly move to the kind of sanctions regime that Senator Lieberman talked about. It. The fact that every day in the newspapers the president isn't talking about this should in no sense be construed as a lack of urgency. This is a very short time clock. The administration is keenly aware of that. The Congress is keenly aware of that, and we're very focused on it.
One last question, please, to Senator Graham. You're exposed in your job at the Armed Service Committee to a lot of intelligence. Do you feel the United States?
Yeah, I'd like to share it with you. I'm sorry. Well, you know, we're overseas, and these are tense times, and President Obama is my commander-in-chief, and I want to be as supportive as possible. I don't think anyone knows in great detail, with great certainty, exactly the state of the Iranian nuclear program. We're trying to learn more. We understand pretty clearly that they're cheating. You know, this new site that was discovered clearly was hidden for a purpose. I think Senator Lieberman's right. That purpose was not to become a peaceful nuclear power. So we know who we're dealing with, and I think the administration, as Senator Kaufman, understands that the Iranian regime really is hell-bent on trying to get a nuclear weapon. But I've become more convinced that they're not at all cost. And the president is right to try to get other people involved. And the intelligence is pretty widely shared that if Iran becomes a nuclear power on the weapons side, then it's a game changer for the world. I don't think anybody could explain it better than President Clinton did last night. The biggest fear that I have of nuclear-armed Iran is not just an attack on Israel or our interest in Western Europe, but that material will wind up, some of it, in the hands of people who know no boundaries, that are not nation states. So I support what the president is doing, trying to get the international community on board to act in a timely manner. It's really up to the Russians and the Chinese at the end of the day. They have a lot of influence maybe that we don't have on Iran. And I'm hoping they will work with President Obama to make the overtures necessary to change behavior. Back to your question about jump-starting the peace process. Every time I travel to the Mideast, to Arab nation, I always get asked about the Palestinians. What are you going to do? Well, my question is back to the Arab community now, the Arab leadership. How can the Prime Minister or the President of the Palestinian Authority negotiate with Israel without your blessing? So now is the time, I think, for the Arab leadership of this world to step forward and urge the President of the Palestinian Authority to sit down with this new government and see where it goes, because he will not be able to do it without their support because of Hamas looms large. And finally, as to Iran, I hope the President will make sure that the Iranian people understand that we're on their side. Being deliberate is not being indecisive. But I do believe now is the time to let the Iranian people know that we're on their side. And now is the time to let the Iranian regime know that your nuclear ambitions will be denied.
We have time for one more question.
Where is the point of no return that you can indicate?
We only get that question in here.
Well, I don't think we can declare points of no return. I think what we're in this matter, what we're saying to you, this is serious. This is serious from an American national security point of view. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, it will be world transforming. It will destabilize the Middle East, and stability in the Middle East has always been a primary American national security interest. It will start a nuclear arms race in the Middle East because our Arab allies will want to match Iran's nuclear capacity. It will end the non-proliferation regime globally, and it will be a tremendous boost to all the Islamist extremist terrorists in the world because Iran is one of the capitals of that movement. So trust me, the President of the United States, the Vice President, members of Congress take this matter of Iran developing a nuclear weapon very seriously and have a real sense of urgency about it. Yes. I think Congresswoman Harmon has to leave to be on a panel.
I just wanted to add one thing on the intelligence, since I have followed that closely for years. I served on our intelligence committee for 8 years. Amos Yadlin was involved in this Saban conference earlier today. He's a superb military intelligence chief. And he pointed out that there are two coordinates. One is capabilities, which we need to understand better. The other is intentions, which we also need to understand better. We are working very closely with the Israelis on the Iran problem, and I think our view of the intelligence is aligned. That wasn't true in the past, but it is now. And I just wanted to say, and I apologize for leaving, that Israel is a superb partner of the United States on intelligence matters, and I think we know as much as we do, and we do as well as we do in this area because of the close cooperation from Israel.
Thanks, Jane. Do you want to go ahead?
I'm Rita from Fox News. I wanted to know, as a delegation here, there seems to be Arab momentum to push this UN resolution forward. If the White House were to say, look, this is our only way forward, we've got to do this, would any of you standing here today support unilateral measures?
I think that's contrary to I think the answer is, well, I'll let my colleagues speak, but I think the answer is none of us would support unilateral measures toward a resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict because it won't lead to a resolution. And it's contrary to American foreign policy for several administrations. The way to work out this conflict is through bilateral negotiations. I presume that the American delegate to the Security Council would veto such a resolution. Unfortunately, but probably, Israel would react with its own unilateral actions, a unilateral move. I call on our allies in the Arab world to stop this now because it's going to be a destructive waste of time. Let's do everything we can to get Israel and the Palestinian Authority back to the negotiating table. That's the way to make progress here. Senator Graham.
That's a very good question. What I would call on the Arab world to do is not support this resolution, but support the idea of going back to the negotiating table with Israel. Your fate, in many ways, is in your own hands here in terms of how we resolve this. So the worst thing that could possibly happen, in my view, is for the Arab world to get behind a resolution that would take a desperate situation and make it more chaotic than it already is. There is a window of opportunity here if people will step up to the plate and exercise some leadership. The best thing that could happen to the Palestinian people is to have an independent state where the children in Palestine would have a pathway forward to a better future. That is never going to happen by playing politics with a UN resolution that will make the situation worse. So to the Arab world who constantly talks to American politicians about a breakthrough, you have a chance, if you choose to create some momentum for negotiations. Do not let it pass.
Does any of my colleagues want to add to that? Ted?
Let me be really simplistic. I think the proposal was dead on arrival. Yeah. I think it has gone nowhere. I think it was a balloon that was floated, kind of an interesting idea. It goes nowhere.
Waste of time. Yes.
That's great for some post-video. What should America's response be if the unilateral move is made and Palestinians do declare independence?
The response of the United States?
Yeah, or the world.
Well, I think I've spoken on it already. Does anybody else want to?
Well, number one, I mean, well, the first step is to make sure it doesn't happen. And I think the U.S. is in a particularly good position, although even better are the Arab governments, to tell the Palestinian Authority this is not the way to go. Everything that's going on that has positive signs at the economic level, at the security level, and in terms of trying to have a full settlement and a full peace and a Palestinian state, you are putting at risk if you pursue this course. Pursuing this course is saying you've given up. And is that what the Palestinian people want?
Yeah, and it's particularly would be particularly heartbreaking, really even infuriating, in light of the kind of progress we saw in the West Bank yesterday. You know, the Congress gives slightly over $400 million a year to the Palestinian Authority. We were very pleased to see some real progress on the ground in the West Bank yesterday. As you know, the economy there is growing. There's a lot of building going on. To go off on this tangent is just a waste of time, and it'll do nothing good. So let's get back to work and try to negotiate the differences. No, I don't even want to say that. I want to say that what we're doing now is working so well on the ground and improving the life of the people on the West Bank that why waste time in going here, particularly when you've got a new Israeli prime minister who's saying, I want to go to negotiations with the Palestinian Authority without preconditions, and suggesting, as he did again to us last night, that he has some new steps that he's prepared to take to encourage them to come to the table. Incidentally, we haven't said this. I speak for myself. I hope that President Abu Mazen of the Palestinian Authority reconsiders his decision to leave the presidency. This is not our business to be involved in domestic politics on either side here, but I will say for myself that over the years that I've known him, I think he's a person of goodwill who really wants to end this conflict, and I think we have an opportunity at this moment to do so.
Thank you all for coming. Maybe
we'll do it one or two more. Sorry.
Go ahead. Senator Lieberman, I'm sure you are very concerned in Israel about how you're going to vote on the health care package.
And what's your next question? as President Reagan used to say.
Can I ask you, are you have any confidence that some kind of compromise between your concerns about the economic impact and those of your colleagues in the House and Senate, that there should be some kind of public option? Do you have
it's not that I don't want to get into this because I get into it every day back home, but I don't want to talk about a waste of time. With all respect, I don't want to do it here because we've got to get back to the Saban Forum, which is going on. I apologize. Yes.
To Reuters, you seem to be taking this threat of declaration of statehood quite seriously. I think a lot of people around here think it's coming from nowhere. Did you get any
of the reporters? No, right? We just asked questions. We're not taking this seriously.
Who's taking it seriously?
Well, you seem to be your answer. You're taking it seriously. You're taking it as a serious threat. Do you believe it's a serious threat?
Well, people are talking about it. Salam Fayyad did not talk about it at all. He talked about the economic progress on the West Bank. He talked about his commitment over the next couple of years to build the institutions of statehood, security, governance, economic growth. This is all really what our focus should be. But somebody mentioned that some of the Arab countries are encouraging this movement to go to the United Nations for a unilateral declaration of Palestinian statehood. Again, it doesn't go anywhere, so it's a waste of time. And I think it's very important for us to be very clear about that at the beginning so we can focus on something that really can make life better here for people in Israel and among the Palestinians. Yeah?
I'm curious, two things. One is, in New York, late afternoon in Israel on Friday, we heard about the mosques in New York and the building that was owned, speculated by the Iranians. Is there a follow-up along those lines as far as, because we went into Shabbat and then didn't hear much information.
Anybody hear about
a follow-up along those lines as far as California, New York, Maryland, Virginia, the whole nation was watching.
Yeah, sorry, we've been here, so we don't know any more than you know about that, but we'll get briefed on it when we go back. Yeah, go ahead, Congresswoman.
I was just saying, as a New Yorker, I don't know a thing about it, but I would like to use this opportunity just to comment on the other Arab states in the region. As George Mitchell has been going around visiting with all the governments, he returns, and in response to many of our questions, well, what do the Saudis do to promote peace? What are the Arab nations in the region doing to promote peace? And it's usually zero. So I would hope, and many of us are still optimistic, that Abu Mazen would run again, working with Salam Fayyad. They can build upon the progress that we saw with our own eyes. And I had an opportunity to visit in Jericho, and I know what General Dayton is doing to build up the security forces. So we leave this conference with cautious optimism, knowing that there is no choice. All the parties really have to continue to work together to bring peace to this region. So if there's a proposal out there to go to the UN or another proposal to declare this or that, it doesn't make any sense. You need the two parties to work together in order to have a real and lasting peace, and the United States can only be a facilitator. As Senator Lieberman said, we've been investing over $400 million a year in education, in water, in economic development, and we hope to continue working until there is a lasting peace in the region.
I think now is the time for one last question.
A little bit off the subject. Yeah. Is it ever CNN? In your discussion with Israeli officials, did the case of Berlanti Azam, a 21-year-old Palestinian student who was from Bethlehem University, was on the way to Ramallah, was stopped at a checkpoint and deported to Gaza 2 months before her graduation? Did her name come up with any discussions?
No, I was just checking with my colleagues because I don't remember that it did. I'm sorry, I can't answer that because I don't know anything about it. Thank you all very much. We're going to go hear Congressman Harmon speak.